So Lord, we just thank you for a great night tonight. Lord, we're just going to have fun in you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the times that we have together. We thank you, Lord, that you're here with us. Lord, you are not only here with us, you're in us. We praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you have made for us to get together as one body here, as one body in Christ, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that tonight it's going to be special because you're the one that's going to be leading this thing. And we thank you for it, Father. I just thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done for us, all the things that you have given us. You set us free from so many things, Father, and you're still setting us free, and that's what's great about it. Lord, we just thank you for this great and awesome day that's coming where you're really going to show yourself strong, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night, Lord, and we ask and we pray, Father, that your anointing be on all of us to have a good time in you, Lord, and I thank you for it, and I praise you, Father, for all the work that you're doing in each one of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests? Well, Lord, we just thank you that everybody here is prayed up and they got everything prayed for, and all we got to do is just wait and sit back and rest in you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. I thank you, Lord. I want y'all to pray with me for just a little bit. Lord, I thank you that Jeanette is healed, delivered, and set free, Father. I just know it. I believe it because your word says it. I have prayed the prayer of faith for her. She is healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all our pets that we got, too. We thank you for Spot. We thank you for Fudge. And, Father, we thank you for all the rest of them. I thank you for our little pets out there in the forest out there around the house, the ones that stays out of my garden, in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? Hi, Judy. It's iPad Judy. Praise God. All right, anybody got a testimony? I do. Hey, yesterday, day before, a couple of days ago, when it was, I've been having a little bit of trouble with my hip, you know. My brother had a operation on his hip, and that devil tried to jump on me. He's 74. He's 4 years older than I am. And that devil jumped on me, and he kept telling me, "Well, see, look there, you coming on up in age there, son, you got to get one of them too." I said, "No, I ain't. I don't have to have that. I ain't going to have it in Jesus' name." And I just cast it off. I had David pray with me, believe with me, and it's left. Praise God. I don't have to worry about that no more. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Well, all we got to do is tell that devil to leave, don't we? That's it, man. We just got to believe it in our heart, too, that the devil has gone. He ain't coming on us. Do you realize who lives inside of you? Who is directing traffic for you? He not only directing traffic for you, he's talking to you and telling you what you are in him. You have the authority over all. It don't say some. It don't say this one or that one. It says all the power of the enemy. Praise God for that. I'm telling you. He's the king, isn't he? That's my king. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to work this thing.
Well, you're on your own.
I know. Yeah, we had our meeting last night, our assembly meeting, and we all got together. And before the meeting, we were all praying that things would work well and we'd have a great meeting. And Michael said that everybody was going to get healed last night. You know what? Everybody got healed. Everybody that had a complaint got healed. It's a done deal. I agree with you. I agree with what you said just now, and I agree with what you just said last night. I agree.
Bye. Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. But I tell you what, that's what it takes right there. You have to agree with what the Word of God says. Not that I'm the Word of God. I was agreeing with the Word of God last night, which said you call the things that are not as though they were, right? And that's what we do. Everybody's Amen. Here. You believe it, you grasp it, you get it, and there you go. You got it. And Amen. We praise you, Father, for all of that. Woo, glory be to God. I can tell already it's going to be a good night. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Spot. All
hey,
righty.
Brother. God bless you.
You too.
Thank you.
That's that Anna. That's our Anna right there. That's our Anna right there. Go on with it, girl. Thank Amen. You, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, testimony, or praise report? Yeah, Missy, go ahead on.
I think it was last Thursday. Remember how we were talking about how, you know, asking the Lord, you were saying about, you know, the Lord said that Jeanette was going to come soon, you know, way back, what, 6 years ago or something, whatever you're saying. And you learned from David to ask the Lord, you know, well, how soon is your soon? Is it when you say soon, is it my soon or you know, whatever. So I don't know when the 10th was. I don't know if maybe that was Friday or a couple days after that. Anyway, I asked the Lord. Merle's not here, so I can share this. I asked the Lord. Lord, is Merle going to repent soon, you know, of this whole basically change his mind from all these doctrines and leave this assembly, you know, my thought. Anyway, I said, is the Lord going to repent soon according to what I think to be soon? And I got a verse, and I landed in Psalm 1:8, and I landed right on the part that says, I will give thee. But before that it says, ask of me and I will give thee. And I'm like thinking, okay. Okay. So I felt like he was saying, ask him. This is what I asked him. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to put the Lord under the gun.
So what was that verse?
What was that reference?
Reference, Psalm, yeah.
Psalm 1:8.
There is no 8. What are you talking about, 1:8? There ain't no 8 verse. Oh, there ain't sorry. 6.
It's 2:8. I'm sorry, it's 2:8.
Okay.
Okay, 2:8. Sorry, I got to change that on here. It's 2:8. So I landed right on where it says, I will give thee, but before that says, ask of me, and I will give thee. And so then I asked, okay, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this, and I said, okay, will you grant Merle repentance before the end of the year? And I cast lots, and he gave me 2 heads for a yes. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I want a confirmation of that. Will you give me another 2 heads? And he only gave me a head and a tail, and it was like, the Lord, it was like I'm thinking, okay, now why did he, And he says to me, I told you to ask me and I'll give you. I'll give thee. Ask me and I'll give thee. What more do you want? Because he gave me a yes, so.
Well, just revel in that because it's going to happen.
Right.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So I just share that. I was really encouraged by that, and he's really been giving me some encouraging verses, you know, and stuff.
Amen.
You know? So
might be some other things happen too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I don't know, but I'm just saying. Okay.
Anyway.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Matt. Oh, yeah, that was very exciting.
I got a testimony, and it was Friday. My ankle was hurting. I don't know what I did to it, but it was hurting really bad. You know, I had to work and walk around all day, so I was just believing and, you know, praising the Lord that I already got healed and that was already done, even though I didn't feel like it was already done. And I was believing all day and went to the worship meeting that night and got up and danced and stuff like that, you know, walking out my faith. And the next morning I asked Anna to agree with me, and she did, and by the middle of the day the pain was gone the next day. So it was awesome. Praise you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yep, that's our God. Dr. Jesus on call. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, we have a prayer request for an older fella back up home that, well, they moved into the southern part of the state now, but we've been in contact a little bit. But his wife had a stroke a couple weeks back, and they're having trouble. She's got three arteries or veins, I'm not sure what they were, going up the back of her neck, and they're very, very fine, almost hair thin, but the blood's not flowing up through there, and so they decided to take her off her blood pressure medicine, hoping that added pressure will force the blood up in there. So, but I told them we'd be praying for her. So, Father, we pray right now for Dolores, God, that you would open those veins or arteries, whichever it was, Lord, that you would just open them, God. We command that healing in her and these three particular ones in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it. And, Lord, we just know that's a done deal, Lord. We thank you, God. We have the faith to believe you, Lord.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Jesus. And also have a brother in the Lord that's in a prison up in Illinois, and he's just put himself in segregation, I guess, because he's having trouble with his roommate. And about a year or so ago, he ended up getting in a fight with a roommate. I guess the other guy started it, and then he ended up in seg. And so, you know, when you come out to visit, you got to have handcuffs on and you got to talk through the glass and all that. Otherwise, the normal visit would be in a room sitting at a table together. But this time, this new cellmate is really, really pushing him. And, you know, why not almost start a fight all the time? And so he voluntarily put himself in seg. I guess after he's in there for a short period of time, they'll review the whole thing and then get together with the different ones and see what the problem is. But anyway, he was trying to head off, but he's very lonely. So, but I'm writing him right now. But then the guy who would normally be visiting him was the guy whose wife had the stroke. So he's been unable to get over there right now. But anyway, but we pray for Charlie and Pinky.
Uh-oh, we lost you. We lost your audio.
Oh, prison, Father, we pray that you would come. Really? Okay. Jesus.
It came back. It came back.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Lord. We had that problem last week, and we've kind of figured out her.
Well, we come against any kind of communication spirits that are trying to interfere with our fellowship tonight in Jesus' name. We command it to be clear from this point on in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And we agree with you, Denny, whatever you prayed.
Okay.
We agree with you. Our faith is extended with yours, and we believe that God's going to do a miracle here for what'd you say his name was? Charlie?
Charlie, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Father. Amen. Anybody else? Well, Lord, I thank you for the Red Sea that just seems to be overflowing all of God's enemies, and we praise you for it, Father, all of the United States enemies. It's really, really looking good right now. Of course, it could get worse. It could get looking like worse, just like it did for Moses and the Israelites when they got down there on that peninsula. It didn't have nothing but water behind them or around them and the Egyptians behind them, and they thought everything was lost. And then the Lord provided a way. And who got the glory? God got the glory. So don't get disheartened if something else comes up and stops things, because God's going to get the glory this time. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of business for us. We just believe you, Lord. We believe what your word says. Word says when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. And we understand that and we believe it. In Jesus' name. All right. I can't tell. Is Missy got her hand up or is she just praying? Oh, yeah, she's praying. Y'all just ignore her. Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead.
I guess most of you heard about the elementary school shooting in Northern California today. Did y'all hear about that?
I haven't.
Yes.
Oh, dear Lord.
False flag.
Yes. I told Merle right away. I said, this is a bunch of hogwash. This is all about trying to take away guns. I said, I don't believe in the guns and using to kill people, but whenever they take away a gun, that's when there's more crime, and also the government really becomes tyrannical. And I said, this is all the deep state. It's all about trying to overthrow Trump and still trying to take over and so on and so forth. But I was just like angry, and I was rebuking the spirits of murder and just everything. So yeah. Anyway, Michael, since you don't know about it, apparently 5 people were killed. That includes the gunman. I listened to a couple different news reports on it, and they're saying that there were 5 different areas of in the school or whatever where there was shooting or whatever, that this guy apparently was shooting. And I'm like thinking, okay, that sounds – I'm almost thinking maybe there was more than one shooter again, for one. There's 5 people dead. They don't know – last I heard, they don't know if any of them are children. There's several children that were taken to the hospital. But anyway, and then they had this guy on holding the microphone watching this video, this guy, and he was saying about how this guy was a neighbor or something, and he wasn't even facing the camera. He was supposedly a neighbor of this guy or something. He was telling about things that were going on with this guy. It sounded to me so fake. He couldn't even look at the camera, and it sounded like it was like, it just didn't sound right. If you would watch the video, it sounded like it was scripted, but he did a very poor job at it. I don't know if anybody else saw that, but it was horrible, and I'm like, sitting there thinking, that just sounds screwy. So, I really believe it's another false flag. I think it's just something, it's all part of the agenda. I think all this stuff they're saying about what they know about this guy or whatever, I think is a bunch of baloney. But anyway, so I just like to pray against this. It just breaks my heart, stuff that goes on with these kids. I mean, like the whole Sandy Hook, elementary Sandy Hook shooting. I mean, I heard that there's absolutely nobody that died in that. That was just a whole big production that sounded like the whole town got into. I don't know how much of that is true or whatever, but anyway, it's just you don't, sometimes you just don't know what's true and what's not true. You know a lot of it's false flag, but how much of what you hear is true and what's false or whatever. But anyway, it's like, I was just, Lord, we just ask you to drain the swamp and put the deep state fighting against each other. We just send confusion in the camp of the enemy, and we just command them to start squealing on each other and just cause it all to fall apart in Jesus' name, and that they no longer get away with the things they're doing, Lord, and that everything, the darkness be brought to the light, and your people, Lord, that are in the darkness, that have their heads stuck in the sand and don't want to hear about what's going on and don't want to repent of the things of the world and love of the world and don't want to see the light of your truth, Lord. Lord, put in their hearts, Lord, to have a love for the truth. And Lord, just bring all this that's going on out into the light, Lord, and that all the American people, that your people, that are your people in this country, Lord, and even in other countries that have this kind of corruption, deep state stuff going on, even in South Africa, where Joe and Nora are, Lord, just thank you, Lord, that you're bringing everything to light and exposing all the corruption. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Well, it's happening, actually. David was telling me about a Saturday Night Live program that happened this week that they were mocking the Democrats. They were making fun of the Democrats. That's a major step there, because those people are liberal on that show. But they were making fun of the Democrats, and they were wanting to know why they didn't have a solution to anything. All they had to do, all they were doing was talking about Trump, you know, and what was bad about him. But anyway, that's something that's going on. I don't know if you know about Saudi Arabia over there. I know you've probably heard some of the news, but that man over there, he's going after the deep state in a mighty way. In his country, he's getting rid of the money supply. The richest man over there is in jail. They are interrogating him, torturing him, and getting the information out of him. And all of his little minions are with him. And they've got them over there. So you're liable to see a lot of stuff come out here in the next few days. Because, you know, when Trump went over there, he left some stuff with him about 9/11 and what happened, what actually happened on this 9/11 deal. With the prince, or that 34-year-old prince has got a back, unlike some of our congressmen, so-called. He had a backbone, and he went after him with a vengeance. And he was wanting to bring Saudi Arabia back in or into the 21st century. And he also opened up for the women over there to go to some kind of event, I don't know, that they hadn't been able to go to because of the, what do you call those people over there, the Wahhabis? Yeah, the Wahhabis didn't want it. They were in Sharia law. But anyway, it's things are happening. Things are popping because of our prayers. Praise God. Because of our prayers. It's God doing it. It's not these men. It's God doing it. He's opening up these dark areas and exposing. And Hillary, she's just a step away from, you know, Hillary and all that bunch. Podesta, they're all fighting amongst one another. They're turning against Hillary. The Democrats are turning against her. Some of them are. People are talking. It's amazing to watch that. Go ahead, Missy.
I read that the Podesta company or whatever is going to shut down by the end of the year. Did you read that?
I heard that, yeah.
You know what? I've been reading on what does it mean. You know, I've been going on there about every day, and I'm telling you, I'm just like, I sit there with my jaw open because it's like you almost want to say, is this stuff real? Because it's absolutely amazing what is going on. It reads like a John Grisham novel or something. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be Robert Ludlum, not John Grisham.
Well, whatever.
I'm messing with you, Missy.
But anyway, it's just amazing. As it's just, I don't understand everything, but sometimes, like I was reading one of the articles the other day, and I'm like, okay, this is a little over my head. I'm like, okay, forget this one. But it's just, it blows my mind. I'm like, wow, Lord, this is just absolutely awesome. You know?
Yeah.
It's just awesome. Yeah.
Well, they get their information from the Russians. And you know, you check it and you put it on the shelf and you see what happens, you know. But I'm like you. That's where I go to get a lot of my news, is from them. Go ahead, David.
I just want to pray real quick for Saudi Arabia because
yep,
they're another one of those countries that, and the people there are really scripturally are going to be brought in into the kingdom, I believe. They have a semi-quasi relationship with Israel, even though it's kind of under the carpet, under the rug kind of thing. They are brothers of Israel. And I think they have honorable spirits. They've just been deceived with the spirit of Islam, but there are some honorable men there. And I think it'd be God's will to bring some of them into the kingdom. So Father, open up your path, open up your way to bring the gospel, the news, your son, the salvation of Jesus Christ into the hearts of the Saudi Arabian people. Lord, I know that this would be your will, that they would come into the full knowledge of your salvation through Jesus. And Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this in your way. I'd love to see these people brought into the kingdom, Father. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Savior.
Amen. You know what would be neat, Lord, if you just brought Prince Salman, the head man over there, the 34-year-old prince who's soon to be king over there, into your kingdom, Father. That would be so awesome. And, Lord, we pray that you do that you grant repentance to him. Send some. We pray that the Lord of Harvest would send somebody over there that he'd listen to about the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and that he would accept. You would call him in, and he would accept, and in he'd come like a flash. Father, we thank you for it, that he is the Cyrus of Saudi Arabia. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yeah, that's a good prayer. David and I prayed that today, as a matter of fact. We were talking about it. Go ahead, Matt.
I was just going to let you know, Tracy asked for a prayer on the chat.
Okay, you want to pray?
Sure. He said, pray for her friend James, that the enemy has sent a woman to, it is an assignment from Satan. So, Lord, we pray for James, that you will give him discernment, Lord, and you will open up his eyes, Lord, to see the trials that you sent before him, Lord, and that if this woman is going to lead him around down all the wrong path, Lord, that you quickly open his eyes and that you will remove this lady, Lord, and anything else that might hinder him from following you, holy Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for that protection that you've got around James. And we thank you, Father, that he's going to know immediately what's going to happen. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We believe it. All right. I think somebody had their hand up. Who was it? Okay. Yep, it's getting very exciting out there. It's getting very interesting in the world, the politics that's going on. David was telling me today that Trump said that he's going to come back. He's going to give a speech about something that's going to happen or has happened or something when he gets back. Is he back yet from his Asian tour? Anybody know? No? Okay. Well, according to what David said he's going to give a speech on something that's brewing. So we'll just have to wait and see what it is. I don't have a clue what it is. Anyway, anybody else? Lord, we just thank you for your hedge of protection around each one of us during all this trial. Lord, we know that there's going to be a great shaking coming up. And I believe it's going to be real soon. We had a bunch of earthquakes and volcanoes that went off yesterday. And Father, we thank you that it looks like you're ramping things up. And it looks like we may see some earthquakes here shortly. And we know that you're going to do that before the man-child goes into the wilderness. And Lord, we just thank you that you're going to give us dreams and visions and let us know, Father, exactly when this is going to happen and exactly what you want us to do. And we praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that everybody here is praying and believing you, Lord, that you're going to tell them if they're in the right spot or if they need to move in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay. A few years ago, gosh, I forget how long it was, I related something that Reverend Lockridge gave, and it went viral on YouTube. And it was called, "That's My King." Y'all remember that? "That's My King." And that was the late Dr. S.M. Lockridge. He was a pastor from San Diego, California. And he said this, he had these words in a sermon in Detroit in 1976. That's how long ago it was. And it's still relevant today. He said, "My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now, that's my king." Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. My king is the only one whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shore of supplies. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization, and he stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of proved theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. Well, that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the strong God and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. Well, I wonder, do you know him? Well, my king is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislatures. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings, and he's the lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah, that's my king. My king. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yes, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. And I'm coming to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found that they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Praise God. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. That's my king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but I'm telling you, it's God's power. Thine is the power, yea, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now, how long is that? And ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, then amen. Praise God. I love that. Y'all ever watch that on YouTube? Yeah, that's an awesome, awesome thing. I listen to it every now and then. I like to get, I get all wired up when I hear it. Yeah, Leah. Where'd it go?
Hey, I don't know. Hey, when did you become transracial?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. That's just the old
Arkansas. I loved it. I loved it.
That's just the old Arkansas way, brother.
I love it. It's great.
Amen.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yep. It's a good one.
Who did
that? What's that?
Who did that?
You can type in, that's my king. That's all you got to put in there, and it'll come up. Dr. H.M. Lockridge, he's a black preacher out of San Diego, California. He did that in, Chicago in 1976.
Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a moving deal. Actually, you can get the whole sermon. It's about an hour long, but that's just one portion of it. Praise God. That's my king, glory to God. Amen. Okay, anybody want to share anything before I get into something here? Glory to God. Now, I don't want to do all the talking, but I can. I just want to let you know right off the get-go.
Michael, could you mute me?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right, anybody else? I go to and fro here, seeing who's coming. Nobody, come on, y'all. Okay, I've read some, I got in some good stuff from John G. Lake. You know, I just love that guy. I'm going to get up in heaven one of these days, and I'm going to go up and shake his hand after I go see Jesus. Because I want Jesus, me and Jesus tight. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Me and Jesus tight. That's my bud. He's my number one bud. Jesus. I just talk to him all the time. Anyway, I got in some stuff with John G. Lake. It's just awesome. And I thought I'd share it with you if y'all want to hear it. Okay. Y'all have to excuse my accent. I don't know if John G. Lake sounds like me or not, but I'm sure it's going to sound just like John G. Lake. Okay. He calls it incarnation. He said, one of the outreachings of the natural, universal man is to be in union with God. Christianity brings us into union with God. And here's a point in this great truth that is utterly ignored. The ministry of Jesus at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Some of you are critical Bible students. And if you have been critically studying the book of Romans, you know the great argument closes with the redemption argument and have said, like me, it's not all there. And where is it? Where's the rest of it? Now, the book of Romans from the 3rd through the 8th chapters is the great redemption program and covers exactly 3 days and 3 nights. The nailing of Jesus on the cross, his resurrection from the grave. And I said, Lord, where's the rest of it? And like a flash of lightning, I saw it was in Hebrews. The center around which Hebrews revolves is Jesus' ministry at the right hand of the Father. We see Jesus taking the blood and carrying it into the Holy of Holies and pouring it out on the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy seat. We're going to sing that one of these days in the fellowship here. They keep skipping over it when I ask for it. But anyway, getting back to John. Only in the book of Hebrews is he called the great high priest. That is his great ministry. He sat down. A man sat down. He had to be incarnate so a man could sit down at the right hand. He's sitting there as a mediator between God and man. He has a new ministry. He is there as the intercessor. He is there as the Lord. He is there as the head of the church. A man, he simply had to become man for that reason. And I want you to understand that he is perfectly man. He is perfectly God, seated there at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that man can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He is our representative at the throne of the highest authority in the universe. He is there as our substitute and representative. My little girl said to me one day, Papa, I don't like this number work. And I said, why don't you like mathematics? She said, Papa, what is the use of it? I said, dear, you're going to see it all the time. She said, I never use it. I said, suppose you had 8 apples, and I told you to give 3 to your chum or your friend. If you did not know anything about mathematics, how could you tell how many 3 were? By and by, she said, Papa, it is some good, isn't it? And she had the courage to go on. You have the theory of redemption, but you don't know how to put it into practice. Every time I go over these great teachings, I get one step nearer the goal. So I'm going to go over them again and again, not only for your sake, but mine too. My privileges and place in Christ become more real. The tremendous possibilities of the divine life are almost within grasp. Sometimes when the word is unfolding itself to me, It seems to me if I would close my eyes, I would plunge into it. Christ is at once the spotless descent of God into men and the sinless ascent of man into God. He was God coming down into man, and he did no violence to his Godhead when he united to man, but he is God. Being glorified as he took on man, he did no injury to man, but he magnified man by taking man on. It is God incarnate. It is God living on earth. Now, he's going somewhere with this, so y'all just remember what we're saying here. He said, turn to John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Of course, I can understand that Philip's eyes were not open yet, but after the day of Pentecost, then his eyes were open. I want you to hear what Jesus said about himself. God was in Christ, wasn't he? An incarnation. God is in you. An incarnation. If you were born again, you are incarnate. God is in you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God is in you. He has committed unto us the word of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5 and 19. And as God was in Christ, so God is in you, John 14, 23, and 17 and 23, 1 John 4, 15, 16. God is in you in two ways. Jesus is in you by imparting his nature, 2 Peter 1 and 4. Second, in the person of the Holy Spirit, John 14, 16, 17. He is imparted to you, so you are an incarnate. The first time I saw it, I stood before a mirror. Check this out. He said, the first time I saw it, I stood before a mirror. And I said, is it possible that inside of that suit of clothes, there dwells a man in whom God dwells? God has not only come in the person of the Holy Spirit, but he has imparted to me his own nature, so that God's nature has come in and dispossessed me of another nature and imparted to me his own nature. 2 Peter 1 and 4. And after he did that, then he said, I will live in you. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And he has come in. Oh, the miracle of the thing. The life of God is in me. The Spirit is in me. We are members of the body of Christ. That is an incarnation. If you could hear this every morning, and then about noontime, and then at evening time, and again before you went to bed, after a while, it would seep into you. A young man said to me, there is one lesson on identification that thrilled me through and through. I laid your manuscript down and went about my daily business, but my mind kept coming back to it. He said, I am going to read it over with all those scriptures every day. And I wanted him to tell me why. He said, I'm going to do it for this reason. It's not mine yet, and it's not a part of me. He said, I remember when I took up Latin. I studied it for 2 years before Latin became mine. So I could translate English into Latin and Latin into English. He said, now I know about this incarnation. I know about this indwelling of God. I know my legal rights, but it's not mine yet in a practical way, so I can use it. The devil has me at a disadvantage still. But I will stand before the devil just as Jesus stood before the devil yet. And that young man has the same life as Jesus had. He has the same Holy Spirit as Jesus had. Friends, you are a son of God. You are a partaker of the divine nature. That is incarnation. Plus, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You have the nature of God in you. You are His child. You have the name of Jesus. After a little bit, this truth will get hold of us. And after a little while, it will master us. He says, this is yours. All He wants of you is to go and act normal. Do you know what miracles are? Miracles that Jesus performed were God coming down out of His realm, the faith realm, down into human realm, the reason realm, and doing things that were normal up there, but abnormal down here. When this thing I am telling you, when the new birth fact becomes a reality to me, having received the nature of God, and when I reach the place quietly that greater is He that is in you, or me, than he that is in the world, I will get this eternal life of God clear, and this indwelling presence of God, and the name of Jesus. It puts me on a par with God. Are we not sons of God? And that's just me. Are we not sons of God? We are. We're sons of God. He says all things are possible to God in Matthew 19:26 and Luke 1:37. All things are possible to the believer. Mark 9:23 and Matthew 17:20. The believer has the right to use the name of Jesus. If I could teach that to little children, they wouldn't get it off the bat. Or they would get it off the bat. Reason runs contrary to fact. Faith does not come out of reason. Both come out of your spirit. And that's the reason that faith and reason don't work together. They are jealous of each other. Reason is always jealous of faith. Reason is butting in on it all the time. When you and I learn the three centers of our being, the spirit center, the soul center, and the body center, we will have gone a long way. You have eternal life, don't you? You have become a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are His son. You are God's child. You are a life child. You are not just an adopted child. You are a blood child. You are a life child. You could be adopted. That would be legal. But you are His real honest-to-goodness child, Ephesians 5:30. You know you have His nature, and you know that is a fact. And you know you do not have to believe that you are born again. You do not have to believe that the Bible is true and that you are born again. You know that? You do not have to believe that you have eternal life. That's a fact, and you know that. You do not have to believe that the Holy Spirit has come in. He is there. And this is the process of elimination. You do not have to believe you are a child. You do not have to believe you have received eternal life. You do not have to believe you are an incarnation. You have the Holy Spirit. Then all things are possible to them that believe. You are a believer because you are a son. You are a child. You have received eternal life. You have the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus. That means you are in the thing. To be a full-fledged believer, then all these things are possible to you. You don't have to try to believe. You just know it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You are in the family of God. You have a right to the use of the name of Jesus. Just like a pass belongs to you when you work for the railroad, you're a part of a... Oh, thank you, Jesus. You're a part of a definite system. You are in the family of God, and you have a right through the name of Jesus. And that is the pass. It carries you up into the Holy of Holies. Give me a second here. I don't think y'all want to see me blow my nose. Praise God. Okay. It carries you up into the Holy of Holies. Now, another thing, beloved, you do not have to try to believe the Word, do you? That would be an awful thing for me to have to try to believe my own Father. How would I feel? You see what he's doing? You don't have to try to believe the Word. You don't have to try to believe it. That would be an awful thing for me to try to believe my own Father. Try to believe my own Father. We just believe, don't we? Glory to God, because he said it is so. That's what we do. How would I feel if I were to write to my little boy and say, son, I am going to send you $5. And then he would go to his mother and say, I want you to help me believe that Papa will send me $5. You see what he's doing? I want you to stand with me in faith that I will believe that Papa will send me the $5. Well, Papa done told him he's going to send it. Why would he have to go to Mama? Papa going to send it to... Daddy's already told us what to do. He's already told us where we stand. That's what John's talking about. So why even go through all of that? I believe that I'm this. I believe that I'm that. No, I'm already there. Yeah, Missy?
What comes to my mind right away is where it says, let God be true and every man a liar.
That's exactly right. Do you know I would get a telegram for her from Mama if he would talk like that? She would say, John, you better pray for that boy. Something's gone wrong with his head. There must be something wrong with us when we try to believe, when we try to believe what he's already said. Let's stop all that baby business in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't ever magnify the devil by letting him know you don't believe that book. Don't you ever lower the standard. Don't weaken it. It's God's book. Of course you believe it. His people for ages and ages have believed it, and it has never failed. And this is what we have done. We have sung unbelief. We have talked unbelief until we have robbed ourselves of our strength and him of his glory. Are you an incarnation? If you are, you are in the family. And he is yours, and you are in Christ. Now let's take up the next step up. Let's go a little higher here, okay? So that's what John's saying. Now you walk in the realm of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Sight means reason. You walk by faith, not by reason. You are a faith walker. And that puts you absolutely in the class with the Lord. When you're a faith walker, you're walking just like Jesus. You're doing just like Jesus. Now, Jesus was a faith worker. The Father was a faith worker before him. Our Heavenly Father has done everything he has done by faith. When he wanted the earth, he said, let there be. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, he just spoke it and it became. All he had to say was, let it be. He said, I want you to come into being. And Orion and Pleiades came into being. He said to the place where the North Star was, let it be. And it was. You are following in the footsteps of a God that says to the things that are not, and they become. And who says to the things that are, and they stop being. Sometimes I tell the story of a woman who had a cancer in her mouth. Dr. Dowie, he talking about Alexander Dowie, who was his mentor, and actually healed him and his wife, and his brothers, and his sisters. Dr. Dowie, sometimes I tell a story of a woman who had a cancer in her mouth. Dr. Dowie put his finger on it and began to feel of it, and by and by, faith said something to that cancer, and then Dr. Dowie took the cancer out of her mouth and put it in a bottle. Now that's faith, isn't it? He knew if he stuck his hand in there, that cancer was coming out. And what was that? Could reason do that? No. Reason would say, you got to cut that thing out. Faith says it's dead, and after it's dead, I'm going to pull it out. Thou acted in Jesus' stead. I am to walk in Jesus' footsteps, and Jesus is my example in faith. John says, I had a sister, Maggie Otto, who had cancer of the breast. She had been operated on 5 times at Detroit, Michigan by Dr. Carstens, and finally turned away to die with 5 cancers. We took her on a stretcher to Dr. Dowie. He was conducting a healing meeting, and she was writhing in pain on a cot. The old doctor laid his Bible down, stepped down, prayed for her, and she was utterly healed. A few days afterward, I got to examining the breast and discovered the cancer was black as your boot. One morning, I put my finger in and touched the cancer, and I saw it was detached from the body. I had the other case of Ethel Post in my mind, and I began to twist that thing, and it came out roots and all. Now, this guy's got some faith, don't he? Some roots were 1/8 of an inch in diameter. Some were 1/16 of an inch. Some were as fine as thread. Some were as fine as a silken hair. We put that cancer in alcohol, and it was in Dr. Carstens' hospital for years. That puts a man in God's class. Can you see what the incarnation means? It's not something to reason and talk about. It's life. I don't want you to try to believe that. You are that. Let me say that again. I do not want you to try to believe that. You are that. I want you to go over it in your mind until you can say it, just like my little daughter did with her mathematics. In my schoolwork, I said to the teachers, we must teach geometry. Now, how many of you know that geometry is just not a good subject? I'm going to tell you, I had it. I didn't like it. I had a hard time with it. I didn't understand it. I still don't understand it. I don't know why we got to have it. You know, and the thing, oh, no, but here, let's see what John says. In my schoolwork, I said to the teachers, we must teach geometry. There was a debate on. I'm sure there was a debate. Why? They said, what has geometry to do with the Holy Spirit and teaching the Word? He said, but I made my case. They said, I don't believe God brought me here to teach geometry, but to teach the Bible. I looked over and said to one woman, will you teach geometry? I don't want you to teach geometry like you did in school, but I want you to teach it as a spiritual duty, a part of your daily life. And I could see her eyes open up. She began to teach geometry, and the other teachers had to fight to keep the interest in their classes up to hers. she inserted God. Geometry was in everything. It became a living part of their lives. I should have had her for a teacher. She learned how to teach it as God would teach it. That's what you got to do with your job. You do your job as God wants you to do that job. Friends, you have the theory of this thing. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have seen the reality of it. You go out and let this reality govern your life. A fellow in California and his boy were working in the garden about 2 years ago. They had to dig up a stone. And digging out the stone, they discovered a pocket of gold nuggets, something like $6,000 or $8,000 worth. The father said, let's not say nothing. Let's don't say anything. Maybe this was buried here. They dug around a little more, and the boy found about 2,000 more. And they found they had a gold field, a limited one. There's none of you folks here but have a gold field. Everybody here has got a gold field. First, you have the nature and life of God. Second, you have the great, mighty Holy Spirit. Third, You are the Son of God. Do you need any more capital to begin to do business? What are you, a child of God? You are in the family. You don't have to try to do that. You have already the nature of God. You do not have to try to have that. You have the use of the name of Jesus. You have the authority in heaven and earth in the name of Jesus and in the commission in Mark 16 and Luke 10. You do not have to try to exercise authority. Whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. You don't have to believe anything when you use the name. In my name, you shall do it. You have the use of the name of Jesus. You have a lot. You have all the authority there is in heaven. And all you have to do is to go and practice it. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You do not have to believe anything. He is in you. He is speaking to you. Let me have charge of things now. That's what God's telling. Let me have charge, glory to God. And you're going to see miracles every day in your life. If you'll let me take charge, get yourself out of this, let Jesus come in and take over. Praise God. The meaning, well, I won't go into that. Praise God. That was good, wasn't it? I got a lot out of it. I don't know about y'all. I'm walking like Jesus. Y'all can sit there like a man if you want to. I'm a man that's got God all over him. Glory to God. Oh. All right, praise God. You know I'm kidding, don't you? I'm not kidding about Jesus. Now, I ain't kidding about that part. I was kidding about y'all. All right, go ahead, Missy.
I'm sitting here laughing at myself. Because this little stinker of a puppy.
Hang on. Flash. There's Stephen Borchert. Steve, what's up, buddy? Can you hear me? Hey, Steve. That's my old buddy. Hey, Steve. Boy, you better look over here. Glory to God. Look at your screen. Does anybody in here remember Steve? Missy does. Jackie does. Dave, you remember Steve, don't you? Stephen Borchert. Hey, Steve. I can't hear you, buddy. Let me unmute you. There you are.
Can you hear me now?
I can. How you doing, brother?
Hey, great.
Awesome. Good to see you.
I kept on calling the number and telling me I kept on singing some song and wouldn't let you connect. It's like the conference call never started. So I went in and clicked on the app and it let me in. So,
okay. Praise God. Good to see you, brother. How you doing?
Yeah. Oh, it's nice to be home.
Yeah, I bet it is. Well, can you, where's your camera at? There it is. I see it.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I got you. There. All right. Yeah.
I got two monitors, so I look at you're on this monitor with the camera on it. So.
Okay. All right. Well, give us an update. How's everything going? Everything smoothing out?
Yeah. A lot of, you know, when you're gone for a few years, it's amazing the things that break and build up. So, so there's a lot of maintenance when I got home, but I got that pretty much under control now. So.
Okay. Praise God. You had a honey list, did you?
I did. You know, quarter.
Praise God. Well, it's good to have you on, brother. It really is. I've been waiting for this for a long time.
So how's your grandson?
Which one?
Well, there was one that was in the prison that came out.
Yeah, Blake. he's not my grandson anymore. I've given him to Jesus. Jesus owns him now. Glory to God. I ain't got to worry about that boy no more. Jesus has him. That's God's son now. So he better look out. I don't know. You know, I really haven't heard from him in quite a while. I heard about him, but that's about it. So we'll just leave it at that. And I know God's working.
All right. Sounds good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. He did have an unusual experience, and I praise God for it, and it's gonna really affect him somewhere down the road, if it hadn't already. You know, he's working hard. He's working every day, and that's good. As far as I know, he's staying straight, but we just let God handle it from now on.
Okay.
Amen. Well, all right. I was relating some things from John G. Lake, and I was talking about the incarnation. We got through with that. Now I want to get to another. Do y'all mind if I do this? If somebody got something else they want to talk about, we'll do it. Yeah, Missy.
I wanted to, but you, last part of that you were sharing about, you know, just let God, or I forget what you were saying or whatever, let God do whatever. Anyway, I started to say this little stinker of a puppy that we have that's been a lot of fun, but she's been a challenge too, and housebreaking her and everything, and trying to teach her to stay in the yard and not run off, and, you know, and because it's like, you know, to take her out all the time on a leash and everything. But anyway, so it's like Merle had said something about, he had made a comment about someone had said something about that they had a wireless invisible fencing that gives a radius or whatever, and he wasn't saying anything about getting one or anything, but, you know, the wheels started churning, so I started looking this up online and everything, seeing about, you know, maybe what it would cost to get one or whatever. And so anyway, and I spent a lot of time looking at that and everything, and then later I was just like, I'm like, Lord, oh, I'm sorry I wasted so much time on that, you know. And then I said, okay, Lord, I was getting it, you know. I'm like, okay, Lord, okay, because every time I just give up on my works and trying to solve, like issues with her and trying to figure out how to deal with her with whatever, the Lord's teaching me a lot of patience, you know, with her. But, you know, he's teaching me too. It's like, hello, Missy, I'm here, you know, you can ask me about this, you know. So it was like, I was on my walk today, and I was like, okay, Lord, I just asked you, I said, I'm sorry that I spent so much time looking at that. I'm just going to ask you to help us with her, show her, because I've prayed this kind of thing before, show her what she needs to do, help us to know what to do to teach her to stay in the yard, and so on and so forth. And it's just like, after I prayed that, I said, you know, I'm depending on you, Lord, to help us out with this, you know. And after I prayed that, later on, you know, almost like immediately, you know, she was responding and behaving much better, and, you know, staying in the yard, and the Lord was showing me what to do to help encourage her to stay in the yard and stuff like that. And I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. You know, rather than using the arm of the flesh and my works and to buy something to help out with the situation or whatever, and it was like, hello, ask me. I'm here. Ask me to help you out with it, you know. It was like, oh, gosh. But I'm like, I'm just tickled pink about it.
Amen. Yeah. You got to get you a big switch.
That's funny.
I'm just kidding. No, repetition is what does it, that and the Lord.
Yep. I've even asked the Lord to, you know, send your angels there to keep her from running in the road, protect her, but I'm not worried, you know, that when she goes running, she usually doesn't go very far, but it's like earlier today, there was a truck that went down the road with the trailer, you know. We're in a neighborhood, so the vehicles aren't going real fast, but still. And she wanted to run after the truck, you know, and I'm like, you little stinker. you know, and, but she didn't run into the road I was hollering for her, you know, bribing her to come back with a treat, and she came back. So yeah. I was like, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Working, huh? That and the shock collar do it every time. No, I'm just
kidding. The Lord didn't want me to do, Mark.
I'm just kidding.
No.
Or a taser, either one, you know. Okay. Praise God. Well, that's good. That's good. We forget that God's in there with us, helping us with the little stuff too. Thank you, Lord. Hey, He wants us to know that He's there all the time. He ain't going nowhere. He wants you to use Him every step of the way. It's awesome. It's awesome to know that God's there and He answers your prayers. Anytime you have a need, He's going to do it. And sometimes you don't even have to ask Him. He'll just give it to you anyway because He knows you need it. That's the God we serve. That's my King. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.
That's right. That's right. Praise God. Okay, anybody else? Anybody want to say anything about the incarnation? Got any comments? Did you understand it? Everybody understand what he's talking about? Okay. Yeah, Willie.
What were you reading from?
John G. Lake had a deal on incarnation, and the gist of the whole thing was that God's already told us what to do. He's already given us everything to do. And who is inside of us?
Christ.
God is. We are incarnate children of God, sons and women of God, sons and daughters of God. We walk with Jesus inside of us. We don't have to believe for this or that. We just know that it's going to happen. We are. Let me just give you a little bit of taste of what you missed the whole thing, but it's his deal on incarnation. You can probably go on, and it's a small little 3 or 4 page thing there.
I was going to look it up. I just thought it was you were reading a testimony from a woman.
No, he has the testimony. This was he actually had this in 1916.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then he steps over to the second crowning, which is awesome too. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read this as well because it'll help you in your faith.
Okay.
Where did Judy go? There you are, iPad Judy. Lord of God. All right, reading Revelation 5. O God, upon our souls we call the blessing of the Holy Spirit today to quicken every instinct of our being, that by thy grace we may comprehend the power of thy word and the might of thy spirit. We pray that the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ may be present in every heart, that we may realize, O God, not only the elevation and crowning of our Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior, but our own elevation and crowning with Him as sons of God. That was a prayer. Somehow, the minds of men the world over have ever been concentrated around the cross of Christ. One of the strangest things to me in all Christian life has been the manner in which the souls of men cling to the cross of Calvary. And I have sometimes felt that is one of the great reasons why there has been so little progress made in the higher Christian life. While we revere the cross of Calvary, while the soul of man will ever love to think of Him who gave His life for us, yet I believe the triumph of the Christ began at the cross and ends only when the race, like himself, has received from God the Father through him the grace, power, and glory of God that makes them sons of God, like himself. Like himself, just like Jesus. And it's a long way between the cross of Calvary and the throne of God. But that is the way that Jesus traveled. And that is the course for every other soul of man. Bless God. I am glad that God is never hurried. He has plenty of time. A few years makes much difference in this life. But God has plenty of time for the elevation of the soul, for the perfect tuition of every heart, until that heart comes into such complete and perfect unison that the nature of man is absolutely changed into the nature of Christ. The triumph of Jesus, as we see it outlined in the scriptures I have just read, has always been one of the splendid inspirations to my own soul. It seems to me if we had not been permitted to have that foreview of that final triumph of the Son of God, there might have been the conception in the minds of many that after all, the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ was not the perfect triumph that it might have, that it ought to have been. It seems, therefore, that no one can have the highest appreciation of the real Christian life and the consciousness that real Christianity brings unless they see the triumph of the Christ. Yea, more, it is only as we become possessors of that consciousness ourselves and as the knowledge of his triumph grows in our own souls and take possession of our hearts that we are able to comprehend what Christianity really is. If we stop to think that one half of the great Christian world is still carrying a little crucifix representing a dead Christ, we'll realize how the mind of man is yet chained to the cross of Calvary, to a dead Christ, to a tomb, not empty, but the tomb that contains the one they love. Beloved, that is not Christianity. Christianity, bless God, is the ringing triumph that began on the morning of the resurrection and ends when the race of man has come to the understanding, knowledge, and consciousness of God himself. Christianity is not a dreary outlook. Christianity is the ringing, splendid triumph of the mind of God. Christianity is the blessed victory that the individual feels in his own heart of the consciousness of the presence and power of God within the soul, which makes man the master now and gives him the consciousness of mastery over the powers of sickness and death. Yes, bless God, the greater consciousness by which the soul of man comprehends the life eternal, because the forces of darkness and sin and death have been conquered in his own heart through the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ in him, bless God. I have always wondered how a Christian could be anything less than an optimist. Y'all get that? We're always speaking the positive thing. It is sad. It is a sad thing when you hear Christians with a groan in them. When I meet the groaner, I say in my heart, God, move the man on into the place where he comprehends what Christianity is. Excuse me. The Christian with a groan in him never moves the world except to groans. In a divine healing meeting some months ago as I was teaching, I tried to develop the thought that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I was endeavoring to show the people that the spirit of victory in Christ Jesus in one's heart not only affected the attitude of one's mind, but likewise his soul. In fact, through the nervous system, men's mental attitudes are transmitted clear through his body. The attitude of our soul has much to do with not only our mental states and our spiritual life, but likewise our physical health. Excuse me. Sweet tea. Good for the heart. It seems to me that as the spirit of man is tuned with God, all the outgrowth of his life will be in harmony with his spirit. The attitude of his mind will be in accordance, and the condition of his body will be a revelation of the attitude of his mind. And that's the reason I have always endeavored in my preaching to bring before the mind of man the consciousness of triumph, the consciousness of victory, the power of mastery. And it seems to me there's a great deal of superficial endeavor in the world to pump oneself up to a certain state of consciousness, which is similar to a man taking himself by the bootstraps and trying to lift himself over the fence. Beloved, the secret of Christianity is the secret of the Christ possessing the heart of man, man being yielded to him so that his victory, his consciousness, and his power possesses your spirit and mind. And then, bless God, we're kings. Not because we say we're kings, but because we know we are kings. And because we feel we are kings by the grace of God and his inworking power. We speak of mastery not because we are endeavoring to lift our consciousness into a place where we can possibly conceive of mastery, but because the spirit of mastery is born within the heart. The real Christian is a royal fighter. He is the one who loves to enter into the contest with his whole soul and take the situation captive for the Lord Jesus Christ. They tell a story of an old-time English officer. He was a very important individual, and it would never do for him to speak out his commands so they could be understood. And he had a raw Irishman whom he was endeavoring to break in, and they were engaged in a sham battle or play-like battle. Presently, the officer let a certain kind of roar, and the Irishman broke from the ranks toward the supposed enemy, grabbing a man by the neck, brought him with him. The officer said, "Hold on, hold on, what you doing?" "Well," he said, "I didn't know what you said, but it felt as if you wanted me to go for him, and I did." Praise God. He couldn't understand the man, so he went over and did what he thought he should. When the Lord Jesus Christ is born indeed in the soul of man, when by the grace and power of the Son of God, you and I yield ourselves to God until our nature becomes the possessor of that spirit that is in Christ, then bless God, we begin to realize the spirit of mastery that Jesus possessed when he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death," in Revelation 1:18. That is the reason I do not spend much time in talking about the devil. The Lord already took care of him, bless God. He has the keys of hell and of death, and he has mastered that individual and that condition once and for all. If you and I had as much faith to believe it as we have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we would have mighty little trouble with the devil or his power while we walk through this old world. It's not worthwhile talking about a man after he's wiped out. The devil has been wiped out by Jesus. We don't have to worry about it. And it is a hard thing for the Christian mind to conceive that the power of evil is really a vanquished power. When I think of examples of Christian triumph, my mind very frequently reverts to a minister I have spoken to you about many times. He was a great soul. The consciousness of Christ's dominion seemed to dwell in the man's heart intensely. I was with him on one occasion when he called to a dying man down in the slums, and it was late at night. And it was always interesting to me to watch the sparkle of his eye and to note here and there the splendid flash of his spirit. We were walking through the streets, and I said to him, "Do you know anything about this man's condition?" "Well," he replied, "the messenger told me the man was in a state of great suffering and liked to die, but he's not going to die." I said, "Amen." You see, there was the ring of conscious mastery in his soul that made it possible for such a splendid burst of confidence to come forth from his spirit. And I said to myself that night, there is not going to be much difficulty tonight. The fellow has the victory in his soul in advance. When we finally knelt by the man's side and put his hands on him and called on the mighty God to deliver the man, I felt the flash of his spirit, and I knew before I rose from my knees that the man was healed, and he was. Beloved, you and I have bowed our heads before a vanquished enemy. We've all done it. We have failed through lack of faith to comprehend that the Christ is the Master. But he who dares by the grace of God to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ knows within his own soul the divine mastery that the Christ of God is exercising now. The power of God through which men are blessed is not an individual matter that belongs to you or to me. It is the conscious presence of the living, risen Son of God dwelling in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which causes you and I to know that the power of God is equal to every emergency and is great enough for the deliverance of every soul from every oppression. And there are times when it seems to me it's not fitting even to pray. There is a life of praise, P-R-A-I-S-E. Once, while in conversation with Dr. Milan, the pastor of the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church of Columbus, Ohio, I happened to mention the fact that I had not prayed concerning a certain personal matter. Turning to me, he said, "I have not prayed for myself for 4 years. That sounded very strange to me at that time, and I didn't understand. He said, "No, I passed beyond the place of praying, brother, into the place where I was ready to accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has wrought and to receive the power of his spirit in my life so that the thing that he has wrought for me should become evident through me." And that man had walked for 4 years in that conscious victory. Y'all understand what he's saying? He said, "I already know that it's answered before I ever say it. So I'm just walking in the victory of Jesus Christ already. And the Spirit of the Lord says within my soul that he who trusteth in the living God shall never be confounded. Yea, according to the word of God, he shall mount up on wings as eagles. He shall run and not be weary. He shall walk and not faint." Bless God, there is a place of strength, of security, of victory, a life of triumph. An hour of consternation came to the prophet John as the mighty God unfolded to him that which was to occur in the future. A book appears, a marvelous book, sealed with 7 seals. An angel with a trumpet voice proceeds to utter a proclamation. "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Revelation 5:2. And mankind stood dumbfounded. No man in heaven nor on earth was able to loose the seals or to open the book. And it seemed to the prophet as if a great disappointment was at hand. He says, "I wept much." But presently the angel God said to him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book." John says, "I looked, and behold, as it were a lamb." And that's in 5 and 6 of Revelation. Blessed be God, the real overcomer does not always evidence his overcoming power with much noise. In this case, his overcoming was in the consciousness that was in his heart. He was as a lamb, gentle, sweet, loving, tender, and true. but the consciousness of power was in the Christ. When others stand dumbfounded, when others stand baffled, the Christ appears. He takes the book, opens the seals, and discusses its contents. Beloved, the triumph of the Christ of God is not the triumph of loud shouting. It is the triumph of what you know in your own soul. The victory of the Christ and the victory of a soul is in the knowledge of the relationship between your soul and the soul of Christ. And he, into whose heart there comes the Spirit of the living God, has within himself the consciousness of one who has overcome and who is set down at the right hand of God, triumphant over every power of sickness and death and hell. Beloved, the triumph of the gospel is enough to make any man the wildest kind of an enthusiastic optimist. And it is said of Napoleon Bonaparte, that when he was first consul of France, he proceeded to proclaim himself emperor of France. And one day, one of the statesmen came and asked him, "By what authority do you dare to proclaim yourself emperor of France?" And he replied, "By the divine right of ability to govern." The consciousness of power was in the soul of the man. He knew in his own soul that he qualified to govern. That's where Christ wants us. He wants us in that same place. The Christian has the consciousness of that character of soul. Within the soul of the real Christian, there is born the consciousness of capacity to govern. And the first place to apply it is in his own life. For no man ever successfully governed another life until he was first able to govern himself. Greater is he that ruleth his own spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. The poise of the father of a household will be revealed in the mind of every child of his family. The attitude of the mother's mind will be evidenced in every one of the household. A dear brother came to me recently and said, "I don't know what is the trouble. I have worked so hard, and I am not able to accomplish the things that I am trying to do." I replied, "My friend, the difficulty is in your own soul. You have not attained the mastery of that condition in your own heart. The same condition of confusion that is in your soul is being evidenced in the souls of others about you. It is transmitted from you to them." When you exude positive, Christian, Jesus-like thoughts and talk around you, that's what you're going to see, positive stuff. How often have you and I walked into the presence of a man whose calmness gave instant strength? How often in life, when the minds of men were driven to confusion, we have seen a single soul maintain his poise in God and become a balancing power in society? History records that at the death of Lincoln, when the news of his assassination became known in New York, the city was almost on the point of breaking into a mob. Three men lay dead on the streets when James A. Garfield appeared on the veranda of one of the hotels. Raising his hands, he spoke these simple words which brought a calm to the whole mob. And the whole city was transferred all over the nation. God is our king, and the government at Washington still lives. The storm was over. As when Jesus spoke the marvelous words, "Peace be still," in Mark chapter 4 and 39, there flowed over the nation the calm of poise in God. It is said at the time of the great Chicago fire that the day following, 200 men committed suicide in that city. The old Chicago Tribune came out with a big red letter headline, "Any coward can commit suicide, but it takes a man to live under these conditions." and the whole thing stopped. There were no more suicides. That wave of cowardice was broken up. The consciousness of one great soul who had the poise of God within his heart was able, by the grace of God, to transmit it to other lives. The success of your life as a child of God will be in exact accordance with the consciousness of the Christ and the power of God that's in your heart. The old prophet arrested the great wave of human despair. I'm going to mute you. The success of your life as a child of God will be in exact accordance with the consciousness of the Christ and the power of God that is in your heart. The old prophet arrested the great wave of human despair that was sweeping over the nation on one occasion with these magnetic words. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Bless God, the nation was not going to pieces. The world was not going to ruin, for underneath were the everlasting arms in which the souls of men could rest down with the confidence that God brought the victory. I'm going to stop there. Y'all see what he's doing. He's encouraging people to understand who it is that's inside of us. Yeah, and me too, Missy. I just praise God. And you know something else? We got to realize that God is in every cell of our being. Every cell of us. And it's rooting out that old Michael. It's rooting out that old Joe. It's rooting out that old Judy and Dave and Leon and everybody else. And when you allow, when you get in the Word of God and you start believing what the Word of God says, then that old man dies and Jesus starts walking in you. You start being just as positive as Jesus was. Jesus knew who he was. You remember when he cursed the fig tree because he didn't have any fig there for him to eat? They came back the next day, the fig tree was dead. He knew who he was, and that's the way God wants us to walk. We walk in that authority that he told us we had in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. We have authority. We walk just like Jesus did. We don't walk like some old Christified preacher that don't believe a word of God. We don't do that. We walk like Jesus. The Lion of Judah walks. That's how we walk. We walk like, well, there's a song that we sing called The Lion of Judah. And it's a great song and I like it because it tells us who we are in Christ. Amen. Anybody got any comments? Anybody want to encourage me a little bit? Come on now. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, you know, about this being incarnate, it's that basically is saying incarnate is God in the flesh, just like Jesus was. It's because it says in John, I'm just like sitting here looking at all these scriptures, and one of the first things that actually came to my mind was David teaching about how it says in John about Jesus answered and said, I said, ye are gods, you know? And that's out of, because I was looking for it, that's out of Psalm 82. But in John 1:14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John beareth witness of him and cries, saying, this was he of whom I cried, saying, this was he of whom I said, he that cometh after me is become before me, and for verse 16. For of his fullness we all received. No, that's not what I wanted to read. But verse 14. But actually, what I actually wanted to read was in John 10, where it says 10:34 down. Are Jesus sure? answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. That's the same way with us. You know, and it goes back to where in 1 John it says, as he is, so are we in this world, and we're to walk as he walked, you know, in the light, you know. And it's like in Psalm 82, he's saying, he's telling them, you know, you're God. You better be doing your job, you know, basically. And that's Missy's paraphrase in Psalm 82. But this is like so cool. It's like I'm sitting here and all these verses are coming together. And it's like, yes, we're supposed to walk just like Jesus did. He was God in the flesh. We have God in us, and we're supposed to be walking, talking Jesus's. You know, not that we are God, but that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be doing the same thing, you know. And, that was awesome how he put it. You don't have to believe God. You don't have to try and believe God's word. You just believe it, because God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. God's word is the truth, period. You know?
Amen.
And but anyway, yeah, it's cool. I got kind of pumped up listening to that and all, and amen. Just God putting that all together, you know. So praise the Lord. Yeah.
Amen.
Like
that's what God, what John said, what Lake said, is exactly the way God wants us to walk. He doesn't want us to walk to try to believe something. He wants us to know it already. It's already done. That was the ministry of John G. Lake. Somebody asked him one time, what was, and this is so true too. I found this right in my own walk with Christ. Asked him, what's the power behind your ministry? And it's faith, actually. But he said it's speaking in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, when you pray in tongues in your own closet back at home, that edifies yourself. That builds your faith up. And that's with the Word of God. Don't get me wrong. It's not the only thing. But that speaking in tongues, that praying in tongues is powerful. Very powerful. Because it builds your faith. It edifies you. And then you walk out there and you know, because the Holy Spirit is speaking through you, the things that you need to have in your ministry walk. And as you walk out and you go to wherever it is God has sent you, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you pray for somebody, whoever it is, God's going to heal them or deliver them and set them free.
You know, something that's similarly related to this, Sunday when I was listening to the Bible study, David said something so small, but it was so big. And the scales just came off my eyes, the veil got removed, whatever you want to say. And it's so simple, and y'all may laugh, but
don't tell me you forgot it.
No, because of things that I was taught, what Merle and I have been taught, we were taught such high-minded spirituality that was in terminology, and if Sue's listening, she can relate to this too, that it was hard to grasp with your mind, and some of it didn't even, you know, I realize now a lot of it obviously didn't make sense because it was parts of it was contradictory to the word. And there's lots of times where I have problems with the book of Ephesians, because that book was such a big book that was, we had such, they taught us such high-minded terminology, and but what David said was, Ephesians, it was Galatians, where it says, walk by the Spirit. He says, what's that? He says, walk according to the Word. Walk, do what the Word says. Walk according to the Word. And one of the descriptions of words that I was, that came to my mind was ethereal. So much of what we were taught, yes, that's spiritual, but it's, what is the Word? The Word is the Lord. Jesus is the Word. The Word is the Spirit. So you walk according to the Word, you're walking according to the Spirit, because the Word is the Spirit. The Word is the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is the sword of Spirit. You know, it's all that armor of God. But anyway, but I was just like, and I had a little note there where it said, abide and obey, on that portion where it says, walk by the Spirit. But, and I knew this, but it was just like all of a sudden this just like all connected. I knew that the Word is the, is, you know, the Spirit is the Word, you know. The Word is the Spirit. Spirit is the Word, you know, forwards and backwards. But because so many times I stumbled over that when I was with them, and I think I still stumbled over that because of what I was taught and this terminology that you never completely understood what they were saying because of this high-minded terminology. Everything was so ethereal and so spiritualized.
Well, I got a question for you. Did they understand it? It sounds like they were trying to give you something that they didn't understand, so they put them words in there to confuse everybody.
Well, it was teaching by this one particular minister.
Hello.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Yeah, I was going to say, sounds like the term is highfalutin mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it.
And I don't know if you all can understand what I'm saying, but I know what I'm saying. But it was just like it was.
Okay.
It was,
God, somebody knows what you're saying. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
But I just like yeah. I mean,
if you listen to what Lake was saying, he's saying the same thing that David's saying. Walk like Jesus. Know who you are in Jesus.
Exactly. Read the Word and that's who you are.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. Simple. Okay, we're about out of time here. Anybody got anything I need to pray about? Need a prayers for? Anybody got a subject for, what, Thursday night? That's, when is that? That's the third Thursday. Hey, wait a minute. Do y'all want to have a Thursday night? It's Thanksgiving. I don't know. Just whatever y'all want to do. If you want to.
It's not Thanksgiving this Thursday yet.
Oh, that's right. No, that's, when is Thanksgiving?
Next Thursday.
Oh, okay.
I already had mine.
Did you have yours? Okay. I had mine at lunch, didn't you? No.
Canada has it on a different day.
Oh, it is? Okay. Well, it is the third Thursday, so if y'all want to have praise and worship that night, then we can. Malcolm, you going to tune up your piano? Where'd Malcolm go?
I can try to crank it up as best I can. I think you can go clockwise on the crank.
Okay. Well, we can do that, and we can do other things too, whatever y'all want to do on Thursday night. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another good night. Lord, hopefully we got this thing about walking like you down, that we don't have to try to do anything. We just know. We know because you're inside of us. You've already taught us about this faith thing. And Lord, we thank you that it's inside of us and we speak like it's true. We walk like it's true. And every morning we're going to get up and we're going to look in that mirror and we're going to say, there's Jesus inside of that suit. And I'm going to do it at lunchtime. There's Jesus inside of that suit. Not that I'm going to put on the suit, but I'm going to put on the suit of clothes. So Lord, we just thank you that you have placed that in our hearts to say it, speak it, and confess it before men and before ourselves, because it gets into our heart, and we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Be with us, protect us, and Lord, we ask for your protection to stay upon Donald Trump and his family and the people around him that are loyal to him, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for bringing down the deep state in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that our prayers have already been answered for James. Our prayers have been answered for everything else that we pray for tonight. We believe it, Lord. We just know we walking like Jesus because he knew that when he spoke, things happened. And we praise you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Be with us until we all meet again next Thursday night, Lord. Lord, you're willing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good night, saints. Bless you. Amen.
Good night.